that, Amanda. Today we'll be in Philippians chapter 3. We're looking at verses 12 through 16, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 12, the word says, "Not that I've already obtained it or have become already perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I also was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. Let us therefore, as many are as perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have have attained." Let's pray. Father, let that be the desire of our hearts, of what we sang, Lord. "As a deer panteth for the water, my soul for you, O Lord." We desire for so much in life, Lord. So many things that pertain to just this life here on earth, Lord. But we know we were created for eternal life. And we need to desire things of you, of eternal things, Lord, of heavenly things. And ultimately, we must desire Christ. And so I pray, Lord God, for this message this morning. I pray for this word, Lord God, that we would desire it as a pure milk of the word, as a babe, Lord, longs for that milk, that bottle, Lord, and can't live without it. I pray we would long for this word and can't live without it. And that, Lord, you would just use this message, this passage, to give us a greater hunger, a greater desire for Christ, and to live for Him and to know Him more. We love you. It's in your Son's name. Amen. Well, there's a guy that runs 8 miles every day, and they call him Raven, and he doesn't drive. He's never flown before, but he's racked up thousands of miles because for a New Year's resolution back in 1975, the year I was born, he resolved to run 8 miles every day, and he's been running 8 miles every day ever since. And he's in Miami Beach, and he runs on the beach. If you've ever done that, that's a mile on the beach is crazy. But he's racked up over 115,000 miles just running. And in spite of injuries he runs, in spite of weather he runs, he said in 1979 he tore a ligament and kept running. In 1994 he got food poisoning, and he said, "You can hardly stand up. You're just looking at the sand, and you want to lie down, close your eyes, and never get up again." And on that same run, he got caught up in a hailstorm. He still ran. And he's somewhat of a local celebrity, and people go and they run with him every day. And what a story. You know, running 8 miles one time is not an easy thing to do, but to do it day after day after day for 40 years, that's quite a commitment. Think of all the excuses he can make. "Well, I ran yesterday, I can take the day off." Or, "I'm getting old, I'm tired, I'm hurting, it's hot today." But no, this is his pursuit, this is his passion, this has become part of his identity of who he is. And I read about a story, and I wonder, can that be said of our walk with Christ? Can that be said of our pursuit of Christ? Just as that's part of his identity, that's part of his passion, that's part of his daily walk, can we say that of our pursuit of Christ? Is He our passion? Is He part of our daily walk? Will we do whatever it takes to pursue after Him every day, day after day after day? Is that our desire, not just to know Christ, but to know Him even more? Because, you know, you can know Christ, but we can all know more Christ more in here, right? We can all know Christ more. And so I wonder, are you pursuing after Him like you should? Are you putting away the excuses? Are you making sacrifices? Are you following Him on a daily basis? We need to be like Paul here, who said, We saw last week, he said that I may know him. You see, Paul made it his daily pursuit to know Christ more, and you and I should be that same way too. So how do we do that? How do we get there? I want to give you three keys to knowing Christ more. Three keys to knowing Christ more. And last week we saw Paul that is a reminder that knowing Christ is the most important thing in life and is the most intimate thing in life. And now we see sort of Paul's pursuit of Christ here. And he gives us a taste of his daily run with Christ. And I hope this encourages you and I to lace up our sneakers and to get back in that race again and to chase after Christ, that we can know him more. So how can we do that? Well, here's a few ways for us from our text. First thing is, realize you're not there yet. Then when it comes to knowing Christ, to fully knowing Christ, you're not there yet. Remember growing up as a child, and my dad grew up in East Texas, about 40 minutes from Toledo Bend. And as a child, we made several trips there, and it took us 4 hours from Monroe to get there. And I knew the trip, and I knew all the everywhere he was going, but I always ask this question, and you know the question, are we there yet? And the younger I was, I think I asked it more, about 10 minutes later, are we there yet? And now Ainsley, she'll sometimes ask that question, are we there yet? And I remember, and now I think, well, now I know how my parents feel, right? Are we there yet? You know, when it comes to knowing Christ fully, when it comes to being close to him as we can be, we need to ask the question, are we there yet? And the question is no. We will not be there yet until we pass on to be with Christ forever in glory, that we can always know Christ more. Notice in verse 12, he says, not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Now, the language in this passage is it's very difficult and hard to really grasp what's going on here, but he says, I haven't already obtained it. What has he not already attained? Well, if you look at the whole context, he's talking about a full knowledge of Christ, of fully knowing him. He says he hasn't become perfect. Paul's not saying he's not perfect or anything. He's talking about the word perfect also means complete, as a finishing something. He hasn't completed or finished the reality of fully knowing Christ. Notice in verse 11, or let's look up in verse 10. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I've already obtained it. He is not there yet. He hasn't fully known Christ, and he's not going to fully know Christ until he has attained from the resurrection of the dead. He's not going to fully know Christ until the afterlife, when he's going to be in Christ's presence forever and ever. And he hasn't gotten there yet. And so he says, I press on that I may lay hold of that. So Paul hasn't fully obtained the full knowledge of Christ and knowing him. And that is an amazing statement, because of Paul and everything he's gone through. Of all people, Paul could say, I'm here, I've arrived, I'm on a spiritual mountain, look at who I am, God's using me to write Scripture, I saw Christ on the road to Damascus, I've led many people to the Lord, I've started churches, I'm the Apostle Paul. But he says, no, I have not obtained it yet. And it's a reminder for us that if you're still on earth, you can know Christ more. If you're not in heaven yet, you can still know Christ more. And as far as I can understand, we're all here on earth, right? Unless I'm seeing things, we're all still here on earth. You can know Christ more. You can say with Paul, I have not yet obtained that full knowledge, that full intimacy of knowing Christ. Right the other day, there's a man that loves to eat at Chipotle's. And if you've ever eaten there or not, it's kind of like Izzy's illegal burrito. If you've eaten there, it's a similar deal. It's a Mexican place. And he has eaten there for over 100 days straight. And it started off as a joke with his brother that he could eat it during Lent, and it just kept going and going. And he ordered the same thing every day: white rice, chicken, guacamole, lettuce topped with Tabasco chipotle sauce. And he says it's cheap, it's consistent, and it's delicious. You know what you're getting every time. And so he has a great desire for this. He pursues this. It's part of his daily routine. I wonder if you have that desire for knowing Christ more? Is it part of your daily routine? Ask yourself, are you there yet? Have you arrived? This is an interesting thing here. Then a mother eagle builds her nest. She starts with thorns, broken branches, sharp rocks, and a number of items that seem entirely unsuitable for a nest. But then she lines the nest with a thick padding of wool, feathers, and fur from animals she has killed, making it soft and comfortable for the eggs. By the time the growing birds reach flying age, the comfort of the nest and the luxury of free meals make them quite reluctant to leave. Then the mother eagle begins stirring up the nest. With her strong talons, she begins pulling up the thick carpet of fur and feather, bringing the sharp rocks and branches to the surface. As more of the bedding gets plucked, the nest becomes uncomfortable for the young eagles, and it prompts them to leave their once comfortable abode and move on to their mature behavior. You know, sometimes you and I are spiritual eaglets, right? We get so comfortable in our little nest and our little lives that somewhere along the way, we quit pursuing Christ. Somewhere along the way, we could quit growing in intimacy with the Lord. So sometimes the Lord has to stir the nest up, right? I don't know about you, but sometimes the Lord brings us through things to stir us up, to get us out of that comfort zone so we can get back to pursuing Christ. Because none of us are there yet. We haven't fully obtained that knowledge of Christ yet. And it's a reminder, too, that to be patient with others, right? Because none of us have this Jesus thing perfected. That all of us are still growing in the Lord. So we have to be patient with one another. So, I think first is realize you're not there yet. You're not all that in the Lord. So if you think you are, think again. You can still grow. It doesn't matter if you're 40 or 80, if you've been teaching Sunday school longer than I've been alive. It doesn't matter if you can quote Scripture. It doesn't matter what your situation is. You're not there yet. Number two, remove the distractions. Realize you're not there yet. Number two, remove the distractions. And it's kind of crazy when you watch people drive and how distracted they are. And you've probably seen people on their phones. I've seen people reading with books. I've seen people shaving, putting on makeup, doing everything but driving. And I read about a woman and got a ticket in Las Vegas for putting chapstick on at a red light. It was a $200 ticket for being a distracted driver. And the officer told her that drivers caught with their hands anywhere but on the wheel were liable to be ticketed. The ordinance states that when a person is operating a vehicle, they must provide full attention to the driving so that it will not render that action to be unsafe. Would you ever get a ticket for being a distracted driver, right? I think we probably all would. Would you get a ticket for being a distracted person in life, a distracted believer? Because distractions are not only dangerous on the road, they're a danger in our Christian life. They keep us from getting close to Christ. So notice verse 13. He says, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead." So Paul hasn't laid hold of it yet, so he's still in pursuit after fully knowing Christ. And this phrase can refer to a runner looking around to see who is behind him. And when you're running, especially in your race, and you look behind, you get distracted, you can get in trouble. In the 84 Olympics in Los Angeles, Greg Foster was a favorite to win the 110-meter high hurdles. He was nervous, but he kept the lead. Just as he vaulted over the last hurdle, he turned his head ever so slightly to see where everyone else was. And that move cost him only a hundredth of a second, but that was enough to lose the race. This is a picture here. But it's also a military term here Paul is using of a soldier who, instead of fighting and marching forward, is cowardly looking behind in fear, looking for the enemy, and not moving forward. And so Paul says, I forget what lies behind. And so Paul had a lot of distractions in life. He could be talking about his past of where he persecuted Christians, that instead of being caught up in that and caught up in all the guilt and all the shame of that, he has to move forward and know the Christ. A lot of scholars believe he's talking about his past of, remember in verse 2 and above, all his success, that he was a Pharisee, he was of the tribe of Benjamin, he was the Israel of Israel, so he knew all this stuff, he had all this great success, and to the Jewish world, before he knew Christ, Paul had arrived. In the Jewish world, before he knew Christ, Paul was all that. But now in Christ, he's not all that. He has to put that behind. But he also could be distracted by being in prison, or people who abandon him, or false teachers, a lot of things could trip him up. And you and I, we live in a very busy world, and a lot of things can distract us, and maybe our past, maybe a sin in the past you're ashamed of that's holding you back. Maybe it's a past accomplishment that, hey, look at where I was at with Christ 10 years ago, and you hold on to that. Well, that's great, but where are you with Christ now? And maybe just the busyness of life and sports and technology, and maybe you have an unforgiving spirit, or maybe there's bitterness in your life, or maybe you just have so much going on, you can't focus on your pursuit of Christ. Maybe you're like these two guys that work for the city. One would dig a hole, dig, 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 dig. And another would come behind him and fill the hole, fill, fill, fill. And the two men worked furiously, one digging a hole and the other filled it up again. And a guy was watching them and curious about why they were doing this. He said, I appreciate how hard you work, but what are you doing? You dig a hole and your partner comes by and fills it in. The hole digger says, yes, it looks funny, but the guy who plants the trees is sick today. See who's paying attention. So they were so caught up in their routine that they kind of lost their focus. You know, how many times are you and I in life are like that? We dig, 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 fill a hole, we go to work, come home, do homework for the kids, or help out with the homework for the kids, you know, do the chores, do all this stuff, and yet we don't pursue Christ. And I thought about Martha and Mary. You know, the story of Martha and Mary, the sisters of Lazarus, and Jesus was at their home, and Martha was in the kitchen, and she was getting everything ready, and she was worried and anxious, and where was Mary at? She was at the feet of Christ, and Martha was upset, and Jesus says to Martha, 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 you're worried and bothered about so many things. You know, sometimes we need to worry less and work less and worship more. We need to quit being so distracted and sit at the feet of Christ and fully enjoy Him. So I wonder, what is a distraction for you? Maybe it's just the busyness of life. Maybe there's things in your life that you can't get rid of. Your family is a distraction. You can't get rid of your family, your job. You can't get rid of that. But you have to learn to deal with those and put them in priority. Or maybe there's a sin that you need to forgive yourself of. You know, God's forgiven you. You need to let go of that and let God, and you need to forgive yourself. Whatever it is, remove the distractions, and you're not going to fully know Christ. So realize you're not there yet, remove the distractions, and then, number three, remember what lies ahead. Remember what lies ahead. A lot of you know that I'm going to run the New York City Marathon, and that's coming up 7 weeks, and I'm looking forward to that. And one of the most remarkable stories of this race happened in 1986. Bob Weiland finished dead last, and it took him 4 days to do the marathon, way after it was already closed and everybody gone. But here's the deal. He ran it with his arms. He's a Vietnam veteran who lost his legs in battle. And so he did this in New York City Marathon. I did some research, saw he's ran some other marathons, and he's done an Ironman as well. And just amazing. Just imagine the pain. Just imagine just what he's going through. And I imagine when he's running a marathon, how many times does he think about the finish line? You know, focusing on that goal, why he's doing that, of crossing that line and completing that task, remembering what lies ahead. And you and your walk with Christ, and in my walk with Christ, as we pursue Him every day, sometimes we get tired, sometimes we get weary, sometimes life wears us down, but we need to remember that finish line, what lies ahead. So what lies ahead for us as we pursue Christ? Notice in verse 14, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The pictures of a runner pressing forward and throwing his body over the finish line. It's the idea of perseverance, of keeping at it. And why was Paul keeping at it? Because he was thinking about the goal, the finish line. And the goal for him, ultimately, finish line is death when he's going to be with Christ. And the prize is not a gold medal, it's not a golden crown, it's not the golden streets and mansions in heaven. The crown, the prize for him is Christ and fully seeing Christ and fully knowing Him. And so I imagine when Paul was having a bad day, or when Paul was beaten, or when Paul was in prison and he was pursuing Christ day after day, he reminded himself that he's not just here to know Christ today, that he's pursuing Christ so he can enjoy Him for all eternity. So he was remembering what lies ahead. And for me, I talking about running. I love to run. You probably see me running. And sometimes I wonder, what am I doing? You know, why am I out there? Especially Friday morning at 5 o'clock, I was in that storm. If you heard the storm Friday morning, I was out in the storm. Anyway, that's another story. But I wonder, why do I wake up in the morning? What am I doing? Especially now as I'm training, when I get tired, when I want to give up, I focus on New York City. I focus on the fact that I get to go there, never been there before, and spend time with my wife. I think about the other 50,000 people I'm going to run with. That's going to be crazy. Knowing that I probably won't finish last, thankfully, with that many people. But I focus on the finish line. What is it going to be like with all those people and cheering me and welcoming me and just that accomplishment and that excitement? And I know that every day when I run, and it's not just about that day, it's about something even bigger when I get to run the New York City Marathon. And that's just like us with Christ. When you're trying to pursue Christ every day, know that it's much bigger than you're just pursuing Christ today. It's something much bigger as you get to experience Christ for all eternity. You get to know Christ in a full, great experience. And so when you get tired and you get weary, focus on the finish line, what lies ahead. Your reward for pursuing Christ today is enjoying Christ forever. So think about that. What a wonderful thing. And if He's the ultimate prize in death, He's the ultimate prize in life too. That if He's worth that enjoying it for all eternity, He's worth that pursuit today. So I wonder, are you pursuing Him today? Because He is the greatest prize of your life. It's not that trophy you won in eighth grade. It's not that degree you earned at school. It's not that title you won at work. It's not the money in your retirement account or whatever. It's not the parking spot you have at work. Your greatest prize of life is Christ. If that's the case, He's the greatest pursuit of life. And that one day we're going to get to be with Him. As that old song says, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace, when He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Remember what lies ahead. It's Christ. Then notice the last two verses here, verse 15. Let us therefore, as many are perfect, have this attitude. And if anything, you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by the same standard to which we have attained. Those who are not perfect, but as mature, complete, have this attitude. This is verse 16, live by the same standard. That live by the same standard is a military term. And it literally means to march together, to stay on course. And he gets to the idea of the whole letter of sticking together to advance the gospel. And for them to stick together and advance the gospel, they must all be close to Christ. And he says, we all need to think this way. And I wonder, what if for our church, imagine if all of us had this mindset. If all of us made it our number one goal to pursue Christ. If all of us had that desire to know Him more. What difference would that make in the community? What difference would that make in our church? What difference would it make among us if we all were like this? You don't know about you, but you ever gone, yeah, you needed to get something, and you went to the back of the house to get it, and you forget what you got up to get, or maybe you, what's happening to me lately is I'll go back, I'll be in the den, living room, and go back to my bedroom to get something. I'll get something else I didn't go back there for, and I'll come up to the front of the house. Oh, okay, I need to go get that. You know, sometimes we forget things and we just want to know what happens. You know, I think sometimes at the end of the day, we know Christ is the most important pursuit in life. We know He's the most important thing pursuing Him. But sometimes we treat our relationship with Him like that. At the end of the day, we're like, well, you know, I forgot. I forgot to pursue Christ today. I forgot to pursue Him today and to fully know Him more. And not only at the end of our day, but don't let that be at the end of your life. That you say, well, you know what, I forgot. I know I was supposed to do that. I know I was supposed to pursue Christ, but I forgot to do it. Make Him a priority. Make Him the pursuit of your life. So I want to ask you today as we get ready to close, do you know Christ? Are you even in the race? Do you really know Him? Not just know about Him. Do you have that personal relationship with Him where you've turned from your sin and you've trusted in Christ, where you've surrendered to your life and God's changed your life. Do you know Him? And if you do know Him, I'm going to ask you a question. Are you as close to Him as you can be? Are you as close to Him as you want to be? And maybe you're not, because you've forgotten you're not there yet. You're not on that mountain yet. Maybe you're like the little eaglet. You're just too cozy where you are. Well, pray for some passion for God to get you back in that pursuit after Christ. Maybe you're too distracted about the failures in your life or about just the busyness of life. Maybe just every morning this week, remind yourself of your pursuit of Christ, of verse 12 and the importance of knowing Christ. And that's the most important thing. Maybe you're just giving up. Maybe you're just discouraged today in your walk with Christ. Remind yourself that when you're just trying to get through the day, that life is more than just trying to get through the day, right? That there is an eternal perspective. That one day we'll get to be with Christ for all eternity and enjoy Him and fully know Him. But until then, keep pursuing Christ and know Him more. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank You for today, Lord, and thank You for Your Word. And Father, it's just a reminder that we're not there yet, Lord, that all of us could know Christ more. Maybe we've just gotten comfortable where we are. Maybe, Lord, we're just distracted. Maybe we have good intentions, we're just busy, and at the end of the day, we forget pursuing Christ, just like we forget where our keys are, or we forget where our phone is. We have good intentions, we just forget Christ to pursue Him. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would have that passion to pursue Him. And I pray, Lord God, that just remind everyone that, Lord, that pursuing Christ is more than just about today. It's about forever. And Lord God, that the prize, the reward at the end of a life of pursuing Christ is be able to cross that finish line and to be in the presence of the Lord forever and ever and to worship Him. That He is the reward of life and of death, Lord. That the greatest thing of heaven is not, mansions, it's not golden streets, it's not seeing people we know, that's not any of that, Lord, it's Christ. That He's what makes heaven, heaven. And that we're going to be in His presence. Let us keep our eyes on that and look forward to that day and press on towards that day. Lord, just show each one here what they need to do, what's keeping them from a full pursuit and knowing You more. Lord, we thank You. We love You. And it's in Your Son's name. Amen. Let's stand as we sing and as we respond. Whatever God's called you to do, maybe just to be in silence and reflect upon the message, or maybe just to pray for passion. Maybe it's to recognize some kind of obstacle that's distracting you, or whatever it is. Do that today as we respond and sing. Let this song really be a prayer of your life, to know, to love Him more. Let's sing.
I pray.